Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, I thank you for this privilege, Lord, of letting me pray, God, that I, Jesus, am your ambassador here today, standing here representing you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the one who's coming back again, the one who came, died, and rose again on the third day. And I'm so privileged to stand here today. So thank you for this honor, Jesus. God, for those that came before us, like George Washington and Valley Forge, and Abraham Lincoln, who sought after you in Gettysburg, Jesus, and the founding fathers in Independence Hall, Jesus, that sought after you and fasted and prayed for this nation to be founded on your principles and your words and your truths. God, forgive us. Jesus, we've lost sight of you. We've forgotten you, God, in our country. And we're asking you to forgive us, Jesus, that your promise and your word says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you'll heal our land. Jesus, you are our only hope. God, I pray for our leader, Speaker Terzai, Leader Cutler, Governor Wolf, President Trump. Lord, thank you that he stands beside Israel unequivocally, Lord. Thank you that Jesus, that we're blessed because we stand by Israel, and we ask for the peace of Jerusalem as your word says, God. We ask that we not be overcome by evil and that we overcome evil with good in this land once again. I claim all these things in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus, the one who, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Inovanon Saints Show with your host, Rayward Slew. Let's get on with the show. Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! How's everyone doing on a Sunday morning, March 31st? Amen. The end of a short era. This is the last show, my friends. This is the last show on the Red Words Lou network here. Starting tomorrow morning, and I think it's going to be 9 o'clock in the morning. Starting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. till 11, I'll be on the TDC radio network. So that's going to be on Blog Talk, blogtalk.com/TDC_radio. So you're going to have to come on over there. I put the links in the description so you can click on over there and find me. But 9 a.m. tomorrow, we're going to continue on our reading on day 146 right over there. And there I will stay until all the servers and everything we're working on are up and running, and then we will make the transition to WTDC.DB radio. Hey, man, God's doing great things. He really is. God's moving, and how many knows when God moves, he moves faster than we do, that's for sure. He throttles it down a little bit, but he goes, come on, you got to keep up. You got to keep up. Let's go. Praise Jesus, man. Hallelujah. And so, yeah, that's what's going on, man. That's what's going on. It's what is it out today? I don't know. It's like 47 degrees out there and sunny. And we got some wind. It's supposed to rain later on. But that's okay. Why? Because we have a chance of Christ's return. Amen. Praise God. That's the weather I'm looking for. I'm looking for a little bit of clouds and a savior. Amen. So, hey, how's everyone doing? How is everyone doing out there? One of the hard things it's going to be is to get off a paid subscription for Blog Talk and to, just go back to the normal 30-minute free platform. It's going to be really hard, because I have to put everything back to the guidelines that they have, which is only you can only have a couple of intros, and you have to be, I think, under 30 hours, maybe, or 3 hours, under 3 hours of stored content. So that means today, amongst everything else I have to do today, I have to download some stuff. Now I get a little wiggle room. I got a week to get it done. So I don't have to do it all today. But I will, when I have some time, make sure I have what I want to keep. Amen. And the main thing that I want to keep and have it for the WTVC is the testimonies, the people's testimonies from Christians like us. So those are one thing that we will keep. Somehow I'm going to integrate them into my website. So maybe it'll be just a link. I don't know. We'll figure it all out later on. But if you came on and you have given a testimony, then praise God, man. I know it'll live on forever in internet land on the great server in the sky. But praise Jesus, man. We're going to have it stored up, man, because your testimonies have been awesome. They've been wonderful, man. Wonderful testimonies of what Christ Jesus has done in your lives, where you've come from, and where you're going. Man, it's just a blessing for everyone that came on giving their testimony. So I appreciate it. And I know that the audience, the listening audience, is appreciated. People are still listening to those testimonies, believe it or not. They're able to listen to them, download them, and people do listen to them. So praise God, man. Your testimony goes before you, right? Amen. So if 20 years from now, somebody will meet you and go, man, I've heard of you before. And you say, what are you talking about? Oh, man, yeah, there was this guy on the radio, and I think he did a radio interview. And be like, no way, man. Now, how does that backfire on you, okay? It backfires when you change your mind and you say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to serve Christ anymore. I want to go do my own thing, okay? You go do that, you know what's going to happen? Everyone is going to come out of the woodworks and tell you that they've heard you. I bet you could get on an airplane and go somewhere and get off, and someone will be waiting for you to say, you know what, I heard you on the radio once. Amen. You say, oh, that'll never happen. Well, I hope you never find out, man. I don't want you to do that. I've done it several times, and, you know, backslid, that is, turned away from God. Never renounced Christ, but started doing my own things. To my own peril, to my own peril, amen. So, don't do that. Don't do that. But why are you talking about it? Because I felt like it. Okay. God. Oh man. So hey, well, where's my light? I forgot to put my light on. That's all right. Today is what we got in the store. Day 145, Chronological Tour Through the Bible by Ron Rhodes. Okay, we're going through the Bible chronologically in a year. All right, so if you have been following, don't rely on, oh, I can back it up or whatever. I mean, some people have to. But for every day, for over 140 days, 144 days or so, we've been doing this. Okay, and there's no stopping. Okay, I've made a commitment to do it every day. I made a commitment to bring it to you every day. So if you've been following, man, stay committed, man, stay true. Don't miss out. That's all I got to say. Because it is pretty good. And what's good about it is I haven't really come across too many studies that go through the whole Bible that brings everything in order but spends a lot of time in the Old Testament. Okay, and I think it's really important to be in the Old Testament just as much as the New Testament, to have an understanding of the foundations of Christianity. Amen. I mean, it's not till You know, we're in day 273 that we leave Malachi and we go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right? So, where are we now? 145, 1, or 273. We still have ourselves 3.5 months of going through the Old Testament. Now, that doesn't mean that some of the New Testament isn't going to be brought in and mentioned with some of the Old Testament stuff. Okay? But this is how important the Old Testament is. It supports the New Testament. All right? Everything that happens in the New Testament has a support or a foundation in the Old Testament. So if you don't refer off the Old Testament, and you just hang in the New Testament, well, that's fine, okay? The primary thing is Jesus Christ, and you'll get all of Jesus in it, all right? But there'll be things that you question that you just won't know the answers to until you go back and you reference off of the Old Testament, amen? Then things start to make sense. Now, the whole Bible can be confusing, but God has given us enough in this Word of God that if all we have is this, that we can make heads and tails out of it. Now, I know that I've been starting to read the Book of Enoch, and I read chapters 1 through 15, and I have put it on here on Blog Talk, and I'm going to continue to read it. Now, the Book of Enoch is just a reference book, okay? We don't take that as the true word of God, something we have to live by. But it does help explain a lot of things that are sort of unexplained in the Bible, okay? Like the giants. And how did the giants survive, you know, after the flood? You know, if they were in the land before the flood, how did they survive after the flood? You know, you sort of understand that maybe one of Noah's son's wives, man, might have had some DNA from those Nephilim. And that's why we read about later on that there's still some giants in the lands, right? Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Anything outside of the actual Word of God that we hold in our hand, the Bible, is to be read, and then you chew it up and you spit out the bones. You take it as a reference, okay? And you always take it and you reference it towards the Word of God. Just like anything you hear, anything I say, go check it out, man. You know, I'm not perfect. I say wrong things sometimes, you know? And God corrects me. People have corrected me. And that's fine. That's fine. I want to make sure I'm saying the right things. Okay? So, it is what it is, man. Use your head. Check things out. Don't ever take man's word for 100%, man. You can take it at 99, 60, whatever. But you do due diligence. Almost stumped me, man. Due diligence, man. And you check everything out for yourself. And there's no reason why you can't. Especially if you check Facebook. Or you check Twitter. Or you check Instagram. Or all the other things. Okay? Stop doing that. And start checking your Bible. Hallelujah. You'll have more satisfaction spending a half hour going through what God wants you to do than reading about how Susie's underwear ended up in the tree, you know, on Thursday night, and a raccoon started living in it. You know, who cares? Who cares about that? Yeah, are they funny and everything? Yeah, it's funny, man. But if you're neglecting the Word of God so you can have a laugh, there's an issue. There's a problem, okay? Now, that Jesus stuff is too restrictive. It takes up all your time. Yeah, you know, if you feel that way, then maybe you don't deserve to go to heaven to praise and worship our Savior 24/7, man. Okay, if your heart's not 100% all in, then heaven might not be the place you want to go to, man. Okay? take off your worldly mindset and push it aside. Okay, take off the sleep. I need to rest. Take off the I need to shop. I need to watch TV. I need to. I need to go for a ride. I need to hang out on my motorcycle. I need to do this. I need to do that. Got to go out with my friends. All right? Your soul, man, it's one of the most important things you have. And when this flesh, this bag of dirt, okay, is rotting in the ground, your soul will be living on, okay? And your soul is not going to have or want or need anything that this world has to offer. It's going to either desire heaven or exist in hell, period. So we'll leave you with that. All right, man. Hey, let's get on to our reading. And let me just throw out an ad there really quick so I get everything set up. And if I can ever find one. And I'll be right back in a minute.
Sure is a beautiful day to have lunch outside, huh?
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, hey, there's Bob. Hey, Bob, quiet. I don't want Bob to see me.
Why not?
Because he's... Oh, no, he's looking over here.
Harold, why are you sticking your head in the garbage can?
Because I don't want Bob to see me.
Why not?
You know.
No, I don't know.
He's going through a divorce, and I can't cope with that right now.
What do you mean you can't cope with it?
I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't know how to make him feel better. I don't have any answers. Hey! There's a whole sandwich down here.
Harold, you don't always need answers to help somebody. He probably just wants someone to talk to.
Just someone to talk to? What do you mean?
You know.
No, I don't know.
Somebody to be there, sort things out with, to just listen.
Just listen?
Yeah.
I can do that.
Good. You gonna eat that sandwich?
Listening. It says a lot. Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Listening says a lot. It's actually what you're doing right now. Praise Jesus. Amen. You got people, you got friends, man, and they're talking, and you're just rolling your eyes. Be a friend, man, and listen to them. They may be going through a hard time. They may be going through something to where... you're the only person that'll listen to them. And I'm not saying be abused to where 24/7 they're yakking in your ear, okay? But if you can be there for them, and if you have the Word of God and you integrate it into everything that's going on in that conversation, okay, two things are going to happen. The person's going to get sick and tired of hearing about God, and they're going to go try to find someone else's ear to yak off, or they're going to come to an understanding that Christ Jesus is what they need for their situation. Amen? Now, that falls on you. I mean, listening is good, but don't keep your mouth shut. Tell them about the love of Christ, man, and what Christ has done for you, what Christ has done for other people that you know, and what Christ can do for them. Amen? A relationship with Christ is so precious, man. It's so precious. And your testimony is precious also. Give it. Don't hold it back. It doesn't do you any good to have a testimony and not share it with other people. Because the testimony is worthless then. It has no meaning. Really, it doesn't. Oh, it's my testimony. I love it. I put it on the shelf. I adore it. Well, guess what? That's not what a testimony is for. That testimony is for you to grab it off that shelf, okay, and go on world tour with it and bring it to people. Amen. Oops. All right, here we go. We're going to be in day 145. Solomon constructs the temple. Solomon constructs the temple. We're going to be in 1 Kings 3. 16 through 28, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 5 and chapter 6. We'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, and 2 Chronicles 14. So we got some reading to do, man. We got some reading to do, and we're going to do it. So why don't we jump into what we did yesterday? Yesterday, we considered Solomon's request for wisdom from God. We were in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 23 through 25. Today, we're reading about Solomon's construction of the temple. Now, the key concept for today is Solomon built a magnificent temple for God. All right, so let me come on over here. Make sure I got my easy-to-read version, because I like to read that for people that may have some issues with, you know, the King James, where they can't understand it, and so it just makes it a little easier. So, like I said, 1 Kings, we're going to be in there, then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. So, hold on to your hats, here we go, and we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16, and we're going to go to verse 28. Solomon's Wisdom is what it's titled. 1 Kings 3:16. One day, two prostitutes came to Solomon and stood before the king. One of the women said, "Sir, this woman and I live in the same house. We were both pregnant and ready to give birth to our babies. I had my baby while she was there with me. 3 days later, she also gave birth to her baby. There was no one else in the house with us, just the two of us. One night, while this woman was asleep with her baby, the baby died. That night, while I was asleep, she took my son from my bed and carried him to her bed. Then she put the dead baby in my bed. In the morning, I woke up and was about to feed the baby when I saw he was dead. When I looked at him more closely, I saw that he was not my baby. But the other woman said, 'No, the dead baby is yours, and the one still alive is mine.' But the first woman said, 'No, you are wrong. The dead baby is yours. The one that is still alive is mine.' So the two women argued in front of the king. Then King Solomon said, 'Each of you says that the living baby is your own, and that the dead baby belongs to the other woman.' Then King Solomon sent his servant to get a sword. He told the servant, 'Cut the living baby in two and give one half of the baby to each woman.' The second woman said, 'Yes, cut him in two. Then neither of us will have him.' But the first woman, the real mother, loved her son and said to the king, 'Please, sir, don't kill the baby. Give him to her.' Then King Solomon said, 'Stop, don't kill the baby. Give him to this woman. She is the real mother.' The people of Israel respected the king when they had heard about this decision. They saw he had the wisdom of God to make the right decisions." Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 5. And we will read all of 1 Kings chapter 5. Here we go. Excuse me. Preparation for the building of the temple. 1 Kings 5:1. Hiram was the king of Tyre. He had always been David's friend. So when Hiram heard that Solomon had become the new king after David, he sent his servants to Solomon. This is what Solomon said to King Hiram: "You remember that my father, King David, had to fight many wars all around him. So he was never able to build a temple to honor the Lord his God. King David was waiting until the Lord allowed him to defeat all his enemies. But now the Lord, my God, has given me peace along the borders of my country. I have no enemies, and my people are in no danger. The Lord made a promise to my father David. He said, 'I will make your son king after you, and he will build a temple to honor me.' Now I plan to build that temple to honor the Lord my God. And so I ask you to help me. Send your men to Lebanon to cut down cedar trees for me. My servants will work with yours. I will pay you any price that you decide as your servants' wages, but I need your help. Our carpenters are not as good as the carpenters of Sidon.' Hiram was very happy when he heard what Solomon asked. He said, 'I praise the Lord today for giving David a wise son to rule his great nation.' Then Hiram sent a message to Solomon: 'I heard what you asked for. I will give you all the cedar trees and the fir trees you want. My servants will bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. Then I will tie them together and float them down to the shore to the place you choose. There I will separate the logs, and you can take from there as payment for this. You will give food to all those who live in my palace. So Hiram gave Solomon all the cedar and fir logs that he wanted. Solomon gave Hiram about 120,000 bushels of wheat and about 1,200 gallons of pure olive oil every year for his family. The Lord made Solomon wise as he had promised. Hiram and Solomon made a treaty between themselves and were at peace with one another. King Solomon forced 30,000 men of Israel to help in his work. He chose a man named Adoniram to be in charge of them. Solomon divided the men into three groups with 10,000 men in each group. Each group worked 1 month in Lebanon and then went home for 2 months. Solomon also forced 80,000 men to work in the hill country cutting stone. There were also 70,000 men to carry the stones. There were 3,300 men to supervise the workers. King Solomon commanded them to cut large, expensive stones for the foundation of the temple. Then Solomon and Hiram's builders, and the men from Byblos carved the stones and prepared them and the logs for use in building the temple. Let's go on to 1 Kings chapter 6. This one's a little lengthy, but you'll make it. Here we go. 1 Kings 6:1. Solomon builds the temple. So in the month of Ziv, the second month of the year, during Solomon's fourth year as king, he began work on the temple. This was 480 years after the Israelites left Egypt. The temple was 60 cubits long and 20 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. The porch of the temple was 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide. The porch ran along the front of the main part of the temple itself. Its length was equal to the width of the temple. There were narrow windows in the temple. These windows were smaller on the inside of the wall than on the outside. Then Solomon built a row of rooms around the main part of the temple. The row of rooms was three stories tall, with the rooms built one above the other. The rooms touched the temple, but their beams were not built into that wall. The temple wall became thinner at the top, so the rooms on the upper floors were larger than the ones below them. The rooms on the bottom floor were 5 cubits wide. The rooms in the middle floor were 6 cubits wide. The rooms above that were 7 cubits wide. The stones were completely finished before they were brought into the temple area, so there was no noise of hammers, axes, or any other iron tools in the temple. The entrance to these rooms was on the bottom floor at the south side of the temple. Inside, there were stairs that went up to the second floor and from there to the third floor. Solomon finished building the main part of the temple and then covered it inside with cedar boards. Then he finished building the rooms around the temple. Each story was 5 cubits tall. The cedar beams in these rooms rested on a ledge of the temple wall. The Lord said to Solomon, "If you obey all my laws and commands, I will do for you what I promised you, your father David. I will live among the children of Israel in this temple that you are building, and I will never leave the people of Israel." When Solomon finished the stonework of the temple, the stone walls inside the temple were covered with cedar boards from floor to ceiling. Then the stone floor was covered with pine boards. They built an inner room, 20 cubits long, in the back part of the temple. This room was called the Most Holy Place. They covered the walls in the room with cedar boards from floor to ceiling. In front of the Most Holy Place was the main part of the temple. This room was 40 cubits long. They covered the walls in this room with cedar boards. None of the stones in the walls could be seen. They carved pictures of flowers and gourds into the cedar. Solomon finished the inner room in the back part of the temple. This room was for the Ark of the Covenant, the box of the Lord's agreement. The room was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, 20 cubits high. Solomon covered this room with pure gold. He also covered the cedar altar with gold. He covered the inside of the temple with pure gold and wrapped gold chains around it. The inside of the temple was covered with gold, and the altar in front of the most holy place was covered with gold. The workers made two statues of cherub angels with wings. They made the statues from olive wood and then put them in the most holy place. Each angel was 10 cubits tall. Both cherub angels were the same size and built the same way. Each one had two wings. Each ring was 5 cubits long. From the end of one wing to the end of the other wing was 10 cubits. And each cherub angel was 10 cubits tall. They put the cherubs' angels beside one another in the most holy place. Their wings touched each other in the middle of the room. The other two wings touched each side wall. The two cherub angels were covered with gold. The walls around the main room and in the inner room were carved with pictures of cherub angels, palm trees, and flowers. The floor of both rooms was covered with gold. The workers made the two doors from olive wood. They put these doors at the entrance of the most holy place. The frame around the doors was made with 5 sides. They made the two doors from olive wood. The workers carved pictures of cherub angels, palm trees, and flowers on the doors. Then they covered the doors with gold. They also made doors for the entrance to the main room. They used olive wood to make a square door frame. There were two doors made from pine. Each door had two parts that folded together. They carved pictures of cherub angels, palm trees, and flowers on the floor, on the doors. Then they covered them with gold. Then they built a wall around the inner yard. Each wall was made from 3 rows of cut stones and 1 row of cedar timbers. They started working on the Lord's temple in the month of Ziv, the 2nd month of the year. This was during Solomon's 4th year as king of Israel. The temple was finished in the month of Bo, the 8th month of the year, in Solomon's 11th year as king. It took 7 years to build a temple. It was built exactly as planned. All right. So, what do we got here? Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Let's head on over there. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verse 1 through 3 and then verse 14. So 2 Chronicles chapter 2, preparing the building of the temple. Solomon planned to build the temple to give honor to the Lord's name. He also planned to build a palace for himself. He got 70,000 laborers and 80,000 stonemen to cut stones in the mountains. He chose 3,600 foremen to supervise the workers. Then Solomon sent this message to King Hiram of Tyre. Help me as you helped my father David. You sent him cedar logs so that he could build a palace for himself to live in. And it asks us to go to verse 14. His mother was from the tribe. I will send you a skilled craftsman named Hiram Abi. His mother was from the tribe of Dan, and his father was from the city of Tyre. Hiram Abi has skilled in work with gold, silver, bronze, iron, stone, and wood. He also has skill in working with purple, blue, and red cloth and expensive linen. Hiram Abi can design and build anything you tell him. He will work with your craftsmen and with the craftsmen of your father, King David. Amen. Wait a second. You know what? I messed up. I'm supposed to read 2 Chronicles 2:1, through 2 Chronicles 3:14. All right, so let me just go back. I left off at 3. I will build a temple to honor the name of the Lord my God. At the temple, we will burn incense in front of him, and we will always put the holy bread on the special table. We will offer burnt offerings every morning and evening, on the Sabbath day, during the new moon celebrations, and on the other special meeting days that the Lord our God has commanded us to celebrate. This is a rule for the people of Israel to obey forever. I will build great temples because our God is greater than all the other gods. No one can really build a house to put our God in. The whole sky and the highest heaven cannot contain our God, so I cannot build a temple to put him in. I can only build a place to burn incense to honor him. Now, I would like you to send me a man who is skilled in working with gold, silver, bronze, and iron. He must know how to work with purple, red, and blue cloth. He will work here in Judah and Jerusalem with the craftsmen my fathers chose. Also, send me wood from cedar trees, pine trees, algum trees from the country of Lebanon. I know your servants are experienced in cutting down trees from Lebanon. My servants will help your servants. I will need lots of wood because the temple I am building will be very light. I will pay for your servants to cut down the trees for wood. I will give them 125,000 bushels of wheat for food, 125,000 bushels of barley, 115,000 gallons of wine, and 115,000 gallons of oil. Then Hiram answered Solomon and sent this message to him. Solomon, the Lord loves his people. That is why he chose you to be their king. Hiram also said, praise the Lord, the God of Israel. He made heaven and earth. He gave a wise son to King David. Solomon, you have wisdom and understanding. You are building a temple for the Lord. You are also building a palace for yourself. I will send you the skilled craftsman named Hiram Abi. Okay, so we read that. Hiram Abi knows how to do everything that he asked for. Now, sir, you offered to give us wheat, barley, oil, and wine. Give them to my servants, and we will cut as much wood as you need from Lebanon. We will tie the logs together and float them by sea down to the town of Joppa. Then you can carry the wood to Jerusalem. So Solomon counted all the foreigners living in Israel. This was after the time when his father David counted the people. They found 153,600 strangers in the country. Solomon chose 70,000 men to carry the stones, 80,000 men to cut the stones in the mountains, and 3,600 men to supervise the workers. All right, now we're going to move on to chapter 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Boy, you can tell it's the morning time. All right, here we go. Solomon builds the temple again. 2 Chronicles 3:1. Solomon began building the Lord's temple at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared to David, Solomon's father. This was the place David had prepared for the temple. It had been the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. Solomon started to build on the second day of the second month of his fourth year as king of Israel. These are the measurements he used for building the foundation of God's temple, using the old cubit. The foundation was 60 cubits long and 20 cubits wide. The porch in front of the temple was 20 cubits long and 20 cubits high. He covered the inside of the porch with pure gold. He put panels made of cypress wood on the walls and larger rooms. Then he put pure gold over the cypress panels and then put pictures of palm trees and chains on gold. He put valuable stones in the temple for beauty. The gold he used was gold from Parvaim. He covered the inside of the temple with gold. He put the gold on the ceiling, beams, doorposts, walls, and doors. He carved cherub angels on the walls. Then he made the most holy place. This room was 20 cubits long and 20 cubits wide. It was as wide as the temple was. He put pure gold on the walls of the most holy place. The gold weighed about 22.5 tons. The gold nails weighed 1.25 pounds. He covered the upper room with gold. He made two cherub angels to put in the most holy place. The workers covered the cherub angels with gold. Each wing of the cherub angels was 5 cubits long. The total length of the wings was 20 cubits. One wing of the cherub angel touched the wall, and the other on the other side of the room. The other wing touched the wing on the second cherub angel, and the other wings of the second cherub angel touched the walls on the other side of the room. So the wings of the two cherub angels together reached across the room, a total of 20 cubits. The cherub angel stood facing the holy place. He made the curtain from blue, purple, and red materials and expensive linen. There were cherub angels on the curtain. All right. So there we go. So let's get on to the key concept now. Solomon built a magnificent temple for God. I do apologize for being a little messed up on the reading there. It's my own fault. Anywho, the big picture. Construction of the temple began in 966 BC. Solomon entered into a trade agreement with King Hiram of Tyre so that the materials could be obtained for the building project in 1 Kings 5. Hiram also provided the skilled craftsmen to help out. And then Solomon's temple was completed in 7 years by 959 BC. So our transformational truth is God gives wisdom so it can be used in practical situations. In 1 Kings 3:16 through 28, where the woman each claimed a living baby was theirs, Solomon used the wisdom God had given him to resolve the dispute. Like Solomon, you and I must put into action the wisdom God gave us. It says for us to see James 1 verse 5. So let's go there. Do any of you need wisdom? Ask for it. Ask God for it. He is generous and enjoys giving to everyone. So he will give you wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? We get wisdom from God. Amen. What do we got? The verse for meditation, 2 Chronicles 2, 5. This must be a magnificent temple because our God is greater than all other gods. But who can really build him a worthy home? Not even the highest heavens can contain him. That's 2 Chronicles 2, 5. This leads us to our question to ponder. Did you know that today Christians themselves are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Did you know today that Christians themselves are the temple of the Holy Spirit? It asks us to read 1 Corinthians 6:19. So why don't we do that? 1 Corinthians 6:19. You should know that your body is the temple for the Holy Spirit that you receive from God and that lives in you. You don't own yourselves. You don't own yourselves. We're pretty much rented. Amen? So did you know that? Yeah? I did. I knew it. But it's asking, did you know it? You know, back in the day, they built temples, man. Okay? They built a temple for God. Now we know that there's going to be a third temple that's going to be rebuilt. And rumor has it, that's going to be very soon that it's going to be started. We shall see. We shall see. Amen. That'll be exciting times because we're going to get 3.5 years into that. And then Antichrist is going to be doing his thing. And I don't know. It's going to be pretty cool stuff. Anywho, I read something about, you know, the temple and about the spirit, the temple itself. And let me read that to you. It says, the idea of temple implies, number one, presence. In the temple of idolatry, there was a visible shape to represent the spirit supposed to be there. In the temple at Jerusalem, there was indeed no figure, but there was the visible Shekinah dwelt above the mercy seat. Thus, if the body be the temple of the Holy Ghost, it must be because he is actually there. What a solemn thought that is. Number two, presence, not by permission. but by right. Thus, it is not that we ought, from reverence or courtesy, to render to God the use of a body which is our own, but it is that God assumes the use of a body which is his, bought with a price. We were God's by creation, and the right of property thus derived still exists. But we have given to Satan what is really God's, and the Spirit of God will not come back into a body where Satan's seed is, nor by force take the flesh, while the affections are bestowed elsewhere. But when his grace has won the heart back, then God comes back to his own and takes full possession of the entire man. Try to realize the force of motive which this fact supplies for holiness. Amen. As Romans 14:8 says, if we live, we are living for the Lord, and if we die, we are dying for the Lord. So living or dying, we belong to the Lord. That is why Christ died and rose from the dead to live again, so that he could be Lord over those who have died and those who are living. Amen. So they had the temple back then. They would go, they would make sacrifices, they would, the priests would go into the Holy of Holies, man. They'd make atonement for the sins of the people. Well, when Jesus came, okay, there's no longer need for a temple. He died. He died for our sins, and we are his temple, man. Hallelujah. Now, you think about how the temple was adorned, man, with precious wood and gold, man. Tons of gold. And, you know, people have talked about, you know, with the Ark of the Covenant and when they transported it. And, you know, if anyone would touch it, man, they would die. And I remember reading, I heard, read, saw, whatever, that people had talked about, that the gold itself, all right, was a very conductive thing, and that it's quite possible that people got electrocuted when they touched it. Now, reading this and thinking about, here's the Ark of the Covenant, okay, the holy box, as they say in the easy-to-read version, with the cherubim on it, and the cherubim are touching the walls. Okay? Now, sometimes I wonder if the amount of energy that was there, we'll call it the Spirit of God, man, and then it touches the walls, that whole room becomes like this just force field, man, like, and to enter into that room, man, you have to be protected. Amen. And that you can't have any sin. Because if so, that presence, man, that force field, if you will just knock you down, man, kill you. Yeah, that's my weird thinking, you know, taking and cleaning off of things that I've heard and everything like that. But back to our bodies, man, you know, and what it was saying about, if Satan is dwelling in your body, then God cannot inhibit it, okay? God cannot be there if you're allowing to Satan to be there. If you kick Satan out, you tell him to hightail it out. You don't want to have any part of him. You rebuke him. You bind him and put him in the pit, man, of hell. Then you've allowed God to come into your life and for you to be used by God, man. Now, your body is of God's, okay? He has every right to your body. Unless you give that right away to Satan. And if you do that, then God cannot inhabit that body. He has all rights to it. But in order for him to have our bodies 100%, we have to be in agreement with him. And if we're not, by doing what we do, like sin, and giving our lives to Satan, to the things of this world, we've created a space where the Holy Spirit can't dwell within us, can't live there. Amen. So when we repent of our sins and we are focused on Christ and living right, God can dwell within us, man. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what it's all about. Until we take our last breath, till we die, man, we want Christ to dwell within us. Not Satan. So you know how to do that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're not saved, you don't know Christ, by asking Christ to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, set you free. And what is setting free, man? How would you be set free? Well, one, by obedience, by confessing your sins to Christ. But then, to kicking out the old man, man. Kicking out the old things, getting rid of them, cleaning the house. You know, our lives with sin is like that show that's on TV, Hoarders. Okay? When people watch that, they just, oh, gross. Oh, my God. I can't believe people live like that. Oh. But think about it, man. God wants you, your whole body, to be like a mansion where it's just open and everything's in order. Everything looks good. But we take our mansion and we pile up all the things of the world in it. We pile up all kinds of sins, all types of unrighteousness. And then we're like, well, I want God too. You know, God, come in here. God, this is like, dude, I can't come in here, man. You got to call 1-800-JUNK, got junk, and have them come and empty this place out. Oh, you know, I love this stuff, though. Well, do you want to have a nice house? Well, yeah, but I love this stuff. I can't get rid of it. Well, if you can't get rid of it, then I can't come in. But I want you to come in. Oh, you can deal with it. I'll clean a room for you. Yeah, God's like, nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Hey, you know, when you can get rid of all this stuff, I'll come on in. And how many know you watch that show, man? It's like pulling teeth, you know? In this day and age, and people are like losing their head over a videotape that's been sitting in a Tupperware container in a yard. Oh, no, I might use that. Well, really? You might use it? No, man. No. You're under a spell. You're under a spell, man, to keep unrighteousness and sin in your life. You're deceived. It's what you are. And what you have to do is just like these people. You have to make a decision and say, you know what? I'm getting rid of it. Now, the most successful people on that show that I've seen are the ones that just say, they turn a blind eye to everything. And they say, just take it all. And when that happens, the people that are on the show are just like, really? Are you sure about this? Yep. I've just come to a realization that I got to get rid of it all. And then they go to work, man. They load up those trucks. They haul it away. And the transformation is unbelievable. They show when the house is all done and everything. Yeah, they may have some stuff there that from the old, like the tables and the chairs and stuff like that. But all the crap is gone. And the joy, the peace that's on these people's, where they just didn't know how to do it. But in their heart, they really wanted to do it. You could tell. And now they have the house where they can live in it live in a healthy environment. Amen. For some people, man, they want God so bad, they just don't know how to do it. They just don't know how to do it. And then they end up just sitting in the filth of sin in their lives. Now, how do we do that? Okay? When you come to Christ, you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life. It's like picking up the phone and calling a 1-800-JUNK. And I'm not trying to advertise for 1-800-JUNK, got junk or whatever it is. So get that out of your head. And then when they show up, okay, when you are in agreement with Christ Jesus that you want Him to come into your life, you start getting rid of stuff. Now, how many know it's laborious to get rid of stuff? You know, there's some labor. It just doesn't, poof, it's gone. Okay? But you, yourself, start taking things and chucking it into those dumpsters. You start taking your sexual immorality, throw it in the dumpster. Start taking those thoughts, their perverted thoughts, throw it in the dumpster. You start taking your addictions of drugs, alcohol, shopping, whatever your addictions are, whatever is robbing God of your time, throw it in the dumpster. Take your bitterness, your anger, your strife, and you throw it in the dumpster. Well, how do I do that? You repent. You tell God. You go in agreement with God and you say, God, I don't want this stuff anymore. From the bottom of my heart, I don't want this stuff anymore. I don't even want to hold on to any of it. It's ruined my life. It's made me so miserable. Turn away from those ways. Don't do them anymore. And as you don't do them, that dumpster is filling up, man. Get rid of your New Age books and manuals, your crystals, your Ouija boards. Get rid of all the things that have nothing to do with Christ Jesus, have nothing to do with salvation. Toss them, man. Oh, but this was my great-great-uncle Fred's. Get rid of it. Okay? His great-great-uncle Fred is waiting in judgment, just like you're going to be waiting. And if Uncle Fred had that, I don't know, man. You might not want to have what Uncle Fred had. Get rid of it. You go through a clean house, man. Get your house in order. All right? Like I said, take that bitterness, man. Don't be angry with everybody. Love everybody. Life can change when, if you go and you talk to people and you're always complaining, you're always bitter, you're always mad at somebody, no one wants to be around you, man. You ever had those friends that you call up and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm re-shingling the side of the trees today. What? That doesn't make sense. Yeah, I've been planning on doing this forever. Instead of saying, no, I don't want to hang out with you, I don't want to be with you, you complain all the time, they come up with some cockamamie excuse all the time because they don't want to be around you. If that's happening, you may check yourself. Why? You may not even know it, but you may be complaining 24 hours a day, man, about everything. I don't have a job. I've got bills. I don't have money. I don't have food. I don't have friends. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have a car. You know, everyone else has it. And you just complain, you complain, you complain. When you should be like, thank God I have my breath. Thank God I have eyes. Thank God I have my limbs. Thank God I'm still alive. Thank God for the small things, man. Stop looking at the small things you have. Stop complaining about everything. And when you stop complaining, you may see that the storehouses will open from heaven. That provision will start coming to you when you stop complaining. That you might be the hindrance. Matter of fact, I'll just dare say you are the hindrance. You are. Open up, man. Stop. Stop. Throw everything in that dumpster. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. People might be a little wary at first, but when they see that you're not like you used to be, all of a sudden, you start noticing those friends come back. And don't get me wrong, some friends won't come back because they just don't want to be back. They may not want to be around you if you have the love, peace, joy, the happiness of our Lord and Savior. Because in reality, they're just like you used to be. And they're holding on to their stuff. Amen? It's time to clean house, man. Time to get right with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You come before Him. You ask Him into your life. You just pray. Say, God, I don't want this cluttered life that I have anymore. I'm asking You to take it all away. I want a new life in You, Christ. I want a life that I'm happy in. And I will serve You and only You for the rest of the days of my life. You do that, man. You wait. You see. You watch. God will stop blessing your life. Amen? But right now, Satan's got a grip on you, man. And you got to break that. You got to break that. And step one is crying out unto Jesus and asking Him to come in your life to forgive you of anything and everything you've done against Him, our God. Amen. That's all you got to do. Praise Jesus. All right, let's play a song, and then I'll come back. I'll decide if I'm going to keep going on for today. Today's Sunday. Like I said, I do got some things going on, but that's okay. Why don't we play Scotty E's new song, Valley of Rebirth? Scotty E and then Armor Up is in it also. And you listen to this, make sure you show Scotty some love. Go over to his webpage, reigningredemption.com, or you can go over to patreon.com, look up Scotty E, and his music is there. Also on Reigning Redemption on YouTube, the videos are there. But if you like the music, you want to download it, show him some love, throw him a dollar, and you can download away. Amen. So here's his new song, Scotty E. The Valley of Rebirth, and I'll be back.
Valley, which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by that roundabout, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, shaking. The bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. There was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
Listen to this message unless you are willing to assume responsibility.
Oh, yeah, right.
You will be held accountable for the information you are about to hear.
Okay, I'm listening.
Jesus Christ said that no one goes to God except through him.
He did?
You now have a choice to make. What do you think about Jesus?
Well, he was just a good teacher. But a good teacher wouldn't say that, unless it was true.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Hey everybody, it's Red Words Lou, and I'm here with my grandsons.
Hey, time to get back to the show, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. So, here we go! Alright, we're back! Praise Jesus, man. I was making a decision whether I'm gonna keep the show going or not. And did a little prayer there, and God told me to do something for the younger adults, which older adults can also glean on. But we'll do a little bit of a reading here, and then I'm going to wrap up the show. So we're going to talk about success, okay? And I do these readings for some younger adults because it tends to deal with some teenage issues or some younger adult issues, but they also affect older adults. So just so you know, this is titled Success. Okay, so let me read this to you. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 51, 45 through 48, okay? It says, drive through neighborhoods where many wealthy people live
and you'll see spacious and meticulously manicured yards. The ornate and large houses look like palaces. Many of the homes have backyard swimming pools, and the driveways have luxury cars parked in them. Judging from the appearance of things, you might assume that the people living in these neighborhoods were very successful. But is success just based on what a person has? So today, our passage contains Jeremiah's message to another group of people who looked very successful on the outside, the Babylonians. They were the most affluent and powerful nation on the earth. But were they really successful? So let's read in Jeremiah 51, 45 through 48. Listen, my people, flee from Babylon, save yourselves, run from the Lord's fierce anger, but do not panic when you hear the first rumor of approaching forces, for rumors will keep coming year by year. Then there will be a time of violence as the leaders fight against each other, for the time is surely coming when I will punish this great city and all of her idols. Her whole land will be disgraced, and her dead will lie in the streets. The heavens and earth will rejoice, for out of the north will come destroying armies against Babylon, says the Lord. So obviously God was not very happy with the Babylonians. Even though the Babylonians were successful in the eyes of the world, they were failures as far as God was concerned. That's because they valued wealth and possessions over faithfulness to God. In contrast, Jeremiah was a total failure in the world's estimation. He had lived most of his life under the rule of evil kings who had no respect for God. He was often rejected by his neighbors and his nation's leaders, and even tortured and threatened with death. He had no money or status. In the end, however, Jeremiah and not the Babylonian kings received God's seal of success. So earthly wealth disappears quickly, but eternal wealth lasts forever. Jeremiah made the right choice in being faithful to God, although it cost him just about everything. Determined to be a success in God's eyes, he's the only one who really counts. Then we have the prayer of ask God to help you desire his brand of success rather than the world's. Amen. Hallelujah. So anyone that's been in Christ for a while knows that we don't measure success by the things we have. We measure success by how we are with Christ. Amen. Amen. And that we're successful. We're successful in Christ if we've asked him to come in our lives. Amen. And we're doing the best we can to keep on the straight and narrow, as they say. But the people, man, there's a lot behind looking at houses and cars, okay? You don't know what goes on behind those closed doors. I, myself, have been successful in my life, and I've lost everything. And I'm here to tell you that I've known a lot of people where you would look at them and go, they have everything, man, everything. But inside those doors is bitterness and anger and disgust. I'm telling you, the strife. They've gotten to a point to where they can't go back or they'll feel like a failure. You know, what will people think of me if this new business deal doesn't go through? What will people think of me if I'm not driving a Bentley? You know, I've known some pretty wealthy people, man. And their marriages were just on the rocks all the time. Cheating on their husbands or their wives, their kids despise them. But yet people look at them and go, man, you got a big house, man. You got all this. You've got three cars. And the life is just, there's no substance to it, man. And I've seen people who have a makeshift front door, no furniture, okay, running water, but their heat doesn't work. And they are so happy and thankful for what they have and grateful to God. It doesn't matter what you have. the material things. What matters is what you have in Christ. Amen. So think about that the next time you're driving around or you're walking around or you're on the bus or whatever, and you're looking around saying, people have it better than I do. No, they don't, unless they have Christ in their life. They're dying, man. And probably going to hell. All right? So, hey, man, remember your testimony? Okay, that's the main thing that'll hit home today. Remember your testimony. Your testimony, your testimony, your testimony. Tell it to everyone, because it doesn't do you any good to have it on a shelf and keeping it to yourself. There's so many people in this world that are lost, they're hurting, and you are the one that have the good news to bring it to them. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, like I said earlier, this is the last show that I'm doing on Red Words Lou's channel, blogtalk.com/RedWordsLou, starting tomorrow. Tomorrow, and I am going to make the time change to 9 a.m. from 9 to 11. I'm going to be on TDC Radio Network, starting over there, merging with them. We're going to be on Blog Talk probably for the next couple of weeks or so, and then we're going to be moving over to WTDC Radio, which is www.tdcradio.com. So bookmark that. We will be live over there 24 hours a day, and we're getting that all squared away, getting the servers up and running, and then we'll be live 24 hours a day. We're going to have a call-in number, but it's only going to allow one person to call in, and it won't be like Blog Talk here where you can have 10 people on or that type of stuff. Later on down the road, we'll figure out all the finer details of things, but that is in the works, and we're running up to the finish line here as far as Blog Talk goes. Blog Talk was good for a season, but it's just been too much of a letdown. It really has. Not to say that what we're going to go get ourselves into with this server is going to be any better. We don't know. We don't know. But we trust and believe that Christ is going to carry us through this change, and it'll be good, man. And we don't beg for money. We don't do anything that we do it all, you know, for the love of getting the gospel out, man. It's only for one person, man. If one person, if everything we pour into it is for one person, then it's all worth it, man. Amen. Amen. So be sure to go over to Blog Talk Radio, type in on the search TDC Radio, and it should come up there. And there's a lot more broadcasting on TDC Radio Monday through Sunday. So you might find some other stuff you'll like. Amen. A lot of things going on over there. Raining Redemption for the music. We have now Garrett from the Watcher Society with Mars, his name is. And they have their show giving us the blow-by-blow things of prophecy, what's coming on, what's going on in the world, which is awesome. We have Robbie Robb with the One Long Minute Show, and he's on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I believe. And then Garrett's going to be doing his own show, and you have Sherry, who's going to be doing her own show. I'm going to be over there, the 828 show on Saturday. So there's just a ton of stuff going on, and once we're on tdcradio.com, when we're not on, we'll be playing past shows and things of that nature. So they'll always be broadcasting on. 2 a.m, they'll always be broadcasting on. You'll get something, you know. We're going to be serving food. We're going to be like Denny's, man. We're going to be open 24 hours a day. You come in and you can get some food. Hallelujah. And you don't have to leave a tip. Praise God, man. All right, so this is your host, Red Words Lou, from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, on the east coast of the USA, and I am going to be out of here, so I appreciate you listening. You guys have yourself a wonderful Sunday, man, and you know what? Lay hold of God, man. Pray, pray, seek his face, man, and God will bless you.
Till I see you again on WTVC Radio tomorrow, 9 to 11. Be saved. You know what I'm saying? I'm out of here. Bye.